The September financials, we got them middle of October. So the bank is waiting for these financials. What they're looking to do is making sure that, one, the economic occupancy, the tenants that are there are also the tenants that are paying, is above a certain threshold. That threshold is 90%. We have that built into our contract. So if it dips below that, we can either renegotiate or kill the deal.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. I'm excited to talk to you guys today about what we have going on. We are in the process, and we have been for quite some time, of buying a 120-unit apartment complex just outside of Dallas. We're fully subscribed on the deal. We have been waiting to go to closing for 2 or 3 weeks now. So COVID has changed some lending guidelines and parameters. Banks understand that there might be tumultuous market times ahead. So they're really making sure they're double checking and triple checking their numbers, which is fine for us. We want to make sure that they're safe, because if they feel safe, we feel safe. So extreme underwriting conditions are not a problem for us. Let me give you some insight as to what is going on right now. So we bought this deal as off market, or contracted it off market deal through a relationship of ours, and everything's been moving just fine. And we were supposed to close beginning of October. Now it's middle of October, and we're still going back and forth with the bank. And here's what happened. So the property underwent a lot of lease turnover in September, which is normal. It was probably about 10 to 12% of the total unit base. There was also an additional 10 to 12% turned over. So almost 25% of the property was turned over between September, or August and September. So the September financials, we got them middle of October. So the bank is waiting for these financials. What they're looking to do is making sure that, one, the economic occupancy, the tenants that are there are also the tenants that are paying, is above a certain threshold. That threshold is 90%. We have that built into our contract. So if it dips below that, we can either renegotiate or kill the deal. That just keeps us and our investors safe to make sure that we're deploying capital into the deal that we contracted initially, instead of, you know, the seller basically giving up on management after we contract the deal. So that's how we keep ourselves safe and make sure that we're not deploying capital into a deal that has changed. So what happened? September financials came in like 11th hour right before closing, and the income dipped. Now, the income dipped by almost $10,000. Now, if you annualize that out, $120,000 loss in income is a big problem. So we hit the timeout button. The lender came back and said, hey, what's going on with these financials? And the seller's been good. We've been working with the seller to try to figure it out. Basically, what has happened, to the best of our knowledge, is that big turnover. So you had some vacancy loss. Then you have higher expenses, because you have to turn those units to get them re-tenanted. And then they get re-tenanted, so you have first, last security deposit paid. So it doesn't show up on the income statement the way that we think it does. So what that means is now we have to do a deep dive audit as to tenant ledgers. When did the tenant move in? When did they pay? All these things. And then, did they prepay their rent? Did they give us first, last security in August, that we need to now apply that to September or October? So anyway, what it basically made us do was dive into another 2,500 pages of paperwork, and our asset management company partner, Lighthouse, is going through all of this stuff, you know, for the last week, digging out what the reality is. The seller's saying, no, the numbers will prove out. We're just not going to take their word for it, right? We have to go through the ledgers. We have to go through the deposit slips. We have to go through the bank accounts. We have to do all that stuff to make sure that what they say is what we're seeing. Because if that net operating income has been altered, one of two things will happen, right? We're going to either kill the deal and refund all of our investors' money that we've already taken in, or we're going to ask for a price reduction, or the numbers are going to prove out exactly what he says. So, you know, we just have to make sure we're doing that additional due diligence, and they understand that, especially in this post-COVID environment where the lender is saying, hey, we really need to make sure that the numbers are what they say they were. So long story short is they got the new income and they called us back and said, hey, your loan proceeds are going to be lowered by about $500,000. Well, this close to closing, what that means is that we'd have to bring additional investors in or put in the cash ourselves. It's just a scramble. So we're really getting to the bottom of it now, trying to figure out how this has changed the deal, if it has at all. So, you know, a couple key takeaways for us is to make sure that one, during our lease audit, we saw that there was going to be turnover. During that turnover phase, we really need to understand the process of how they're going to be coding their income so that when we see it, it's not a surprise and we don't have to dig through it. So next time if this happens, we want to make sure that, hey, are you taking first month and last month and security deposit, or are you just taking security deposit first month? How are you booking and coding these prepaid rents versus current rents? Is it going to change what the bank is going to see in net operating income? If you're turning all those units too, you're going to have increased expenses. Now, in our pro forma, we had the pro forma, those 30 additional units to be turned as well. Well, if they're already been turned and they've increased the rents, which they have, then there's less expense for us, right? So if we had another $4,000 in expenses times 30 units, now we don't have to spend, you know, that $120,000. So a lot of variables, but it's a moving target. You know, we like to say it's like painting a moving car, trying to figure out exactly where things are post-close or pre-closing. So just another lesson that we've learned is making sure that we're constantly in communication with the seller, not the seller's broker, because what had been happening is we've been requesting this information from the seller's broker, and maybe some things were lost in translation because we weren't getting the updated documents that we needed, and we got them in the 11th hour, and then once the bank saw it, they said, hey, time out. So really important to make those requests through your attorney, or if you're going to go through the broker, make sure your attorney is copied on those things so that people aren't left out in the dark. The seller can't claim he wasn't getting the requests and things like that. And then just staying on top of the audit. I mean, Lighthouse, our management company, has been fantastic at making sure that they're requesting things to make sure it's lining up. If it's not lining up, they're getting backup documentation for all that stuff. Just keeps our investors safe, keeps us safe. I mean, we're putting, you know, almost seven figures into this deal ourselves. So we want to make sure that our capital is insulated as well as all of our investors' capital is insulated. So it's been good. We're still excited about the deal. It's just thrown a little bit of wrench in timing for us. So we're hoping to get on a call with the bank today. By the time this podcast is released, we'll probably have already closed this deal, but I just wanted to give you some of the learning curves that we've been going through as we go through them. It's not, like I said before, it's not just all perfect all the time. You have to deal with these issues as they come up. Communication is key, making sure that people know that you're not trying to pull one over on them and vice versa. You know, we're dedicated to closing the deal. They, you know, we might put up some more earnest money deposit just to help them buy some time so that they understand that, hey, we're looking to make sure that the deal works the way that we agreed to it on paper in the contract. You want to make sure that the things that are in your contract are protecting you and your investors, just like anything else. You want to make sure that they're seeing the economic occupancy. You want to make sure that you're also getting either final approval or that they're admitting new tenants to your parameters, right? We want to make sure that we're having at least X as a credit score, at least this as income. You know, if there's turnover, can the seller just kind of throw anybody in there because they're not going to own the property in 30 days? So you want to make sure that this is all laid out in your contract, that you have either final tenant approval or that they're only allowing tenants in that fit your parameters, things like that. And then have those built-in clauses where you're making sure that, hey, if this happens, then we need this to happen, right? If economic occupancy dips below the 90%, then you need to prove out that you can get there. Maybe that's an extension of the timeline. Maybe there was a blip in income, but in 30 days, they can show that it has rounded back out. So you can also do that. There's no magic formula because no deal ever goes the same, but as long as you keep a level head and keep transparency on the table and keep lines of communication open, everybody's paddling towards the same direction. We're not trying to get contentious with the seller. We're just trying to make sure, and they understand. I mean, people that are selling these properties often buy them the same way that we do. They understand that we have a fiduciary responsibility to our investors and to ourselves, that we need to make sure that there's no surprises. So it's been great. We've already now at this point gotten our management team in place, our leasing agent team in place. We have our CapEx construction team in place. So the next thing that we're going to do is make sure that we get through credit with the bank and their loan proceeds go back up to where we expected them to go. We'll close on the property and then we'll plan a trip out there. What we like to do at these new properties is to go out, throw a party or a barbecue at the property on a weekend, introduce ourselves as the new owners, feed the tenants, and then also kind of cast a vision as to what we expect to do with the property. Why are we putting all brand new LED lights and security cameras there, right? We want you and your families to be safe. Why are we putting a dog run there? Because we want, you know, you and your family members to be able to go out and run with your dogs and get them some exercise. Why are we resealing the driveway, right? Just aesthetics. What else are we doing? What's the plan? How do we get buy-in from the tenants of who we are and why we're there and how we can help impact their lives in a positive way? So that's like one of our favorite things to do, right? To go out there and just kind of meet the tenant base and let them know, you know, not only is what we do financially driven, but it's really motivated by being able to affect people's lives in a positive way. How are we doing that? Here's how we're doing that, right? Here's our plan on how we're going to do that. What else can we do? I just think it's a lot of fun to see the tenant base, to find out who they are, for them to know who we are, and to also know that we're purposeful and intentional about how we run these buildings. And yeah, so we're really excited about that and still negotiating a couple other deals. It's been crazy 3 or 4 weeks because we've closed 84 units and we'll have this 120 units, and we are renegotiating another deal that we had that fell apart, but all is well. God's in control. We're having a lot of fun while doing this. Hopefully you're taking some of these tidbits and they're helping you. If you're an operator or if you're just an investor with us, then you can kind of see some of the operational efficiencies that we're trying to put in place and some of the things that we're making sure we're doing to insulate everybody's capital. So just being really diligent about that, and it's going well. We're excited about putting this additional project into our portfolio. And then additionally, the nonprofit that has partnered with us on this project is going to receive multiple six figures over the next 5 years to create some funding for them and the programs that they're doing. So that's our invest with purpose piece. That's really the driver behind the business. As most of you know, check out the rest of our podcast episodes to see and hear from some of these nonprofits. If you'd like to donate to them, you can go directly and do that. So thanks so much for tuning in again. If you have questions, of course, always reach out to us. If you have not done so already, go to freefromwallstreet.com. Just fill out that form and then we'll reach out to you and contact you. Want to learn more about what your investment goals are, if they align with what it is that we do, answer any questions, educate you in what it is that we're doing and how we're doing it. And if there's a fit, great. If not, that's okay too. We've spent some time building relationship and educating people about what it is that we do. So tune in next time. We're going to have a lot more good content coming out. Some guests coming in. Travis and I and Sean are going to break down some of these deals as we get through them, some of the underwriting processes and things like that. So we're going to get deeper into what the process looks like when we're looking for deals, how we're acquiring deals, how are we choosing markets and things like that. So feel free to reach out to us, ask us any questions. Otherwise, keep tuning in. Strike the like button and subscribe if you are getting some good value from it. Give us a rating. Let us know what you think. All right. Talk to you guys next time. Free from Wall Street. Thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.